Amen. Good morning, everyone. How's it going? Whoa. It's all 12 of you. That's fantastic. Lively crowd. So huge thanks to Ryan and the worship team last week for... can we turn the lights down again? There you go. Might only be a little subtle difference to you. I was just like... in my eyes. So, to Ryan and the worship team last week for covering, and they did a great job. I've heard lots of you tell me that they did superb. So, thank you, guys, worship team, and Ryan and Co. and everybody else who was involved in that. I remember when I first became when I really became a Christian. You know, I remember that thing happening when I was about 11 or 12, and then when I was around about age 16, 17, I remember really just God just slamming into my life. And I think I told you the story before, but it was quite an interesting experience for me because it surrounded a little old lady who I seem to remember was like this big, like Yoda. And she was invited to a dinner that I was invited to because my mom and dad were having trouble and struggles with me at home. And so... they suggested it would be a good thing for me to go away for a while, which is nice, isn't it? So I went away and I stayed with a previous youth pastor that I had, who my mom and dad had great faith in the hope that God would do something while I was there. And they very sneakily invited this little old lady, and I have to say, I don't even know her name. I can remember that she wore, it seemed to be wearing like a, do you know what a tea cozy is? You know tea cozy, like a tea cozy on her head. She had kind of a blue rinsy thing going on in her hair, a lot like Mr. Schultz had. But he doesn't wear a tea cozy. But like this, and she came in, and you know the kind of pictures, like full-length kind of flannelette kind of coat, and she came in, and I was like, okay, I don't know who this is. And we sat down for dinner, and then at the end, I have told you this before, but at the end, Martin and Nikki, the youth pastors, disappeared, and it was just me and this little old lady. There's always that kind of, so... you know, it was a bit awkward. And then I remember her looking at me like with piercing eyes. And she probably wasn't that old, but like, you know, I just remember like her being really old. She's probably like, I don't know, 35. But she was pointed at me and she started telling me things about my life that just freaked me out. Because I had thought I'd done a great job of covering a lot of stuff up. But you know, she used just this kind of prophetic gift, started speaking stuff into my life and told me where I was at right now, then, what I would be doing in the future. And those things have, regardless of what you think, but those things have happened. She predicted that I would come to Canada and all sorts of different things. And the stuff that she said that I still have yet to see, that I keep to myself. And she prayed for me, and I just felt waves of God's love going through me. And I went into that incredibly cynical, angry, PO'd at life, at mum and dad, at God and everything. I came out of that experience just with this overwhelming sense that God was real. And no amount of apologetics or reasoning or science or anything else could ever replace that just knowing that I knew that I knew that I knew that God was real. And I remember coming home on the bus and just looking at people differently. And, you know, you hear people going, oh, the colors were brighter and all this kind of stuff. And, I mean, I just felt God in my life. I felt like, give me a dead cat, I'd raise it, you know. I'd be like feeling really powerful and just, and it was cool. And some of you have had, maybe not exactly the same, but experiences, whether you're at camp or at home or at church or just by yourself, that you've just felt God really close. And maybe you went into it cynical, but you just came away thinking, wow, this is real. Maybe it was the first time you really surrendered your life to God, and it's just a very vivid experience for you. And you know, no amount, you may not talk about it much anymore, but you know it was real. Maybe it happened really recently for you. Maybe it was a few years ago. And but then, I don't know, like me, life seems to take over, and stuff happens. Temptations come, and situations arise and feelings prevail and relationships happen and decisions are made and invites are given and it just seems like things change. And it seems like a bit of a distant memory. A few weeks ago, I went. My son was at a soccer tournament in Winfield, and so I decided. My wife and I were meeting. It was just after moving Mr. Clarkson, and so I had time to go and get a coffee before meeting my wife. And so I went to this coffee shop, and I was busting for the washroom. I know this is pretty intimate, but you can cope. I went to the washroom, and I had my iPhone and a magazine with me, and not that I was going to use the magazine in the washroom. And so I went into the washroom, and through forces beyond my understanding, my own iPhone ended up in some water. Now, what I haven't told my family, well, my wife knows, is it was the toilet water, not the basin. It was in the toilet. And I didn't actually kind of give the full story to everybody, so I was pretty embarrassed by it, because there's this really weird... How many of you have ever dropped something down the toilet that is really precious to you? What did you do, Kelsey? Stuffed animal. Okay, not a real animal. Yeah? Anybody electronic? April? Glasses? April? Cell phone. How many of you dropped a cell phone in the toilet? Just me and April. Oh, I didn't see it. Okay. Was it an iPhone or just regular cell phone? Yeah. And so there's this really weird moment where you stood and you're looking at this piece of electronic equipment. It was an iPhone 3. It wasn't a 4, but it was hundreds of dollars for me to replace. And I'm looking at it in the water and I'm going, this is a toilet. My iPhone is in the toilet. And you just delve your hand in there. Because you're not going to leave it, because somebody coming in after is going to go, wow, somebody's got some real serious problems with their digestive system. But, so I put it out, and you kind of flick the water out, and you wash it under the, you know, and it's just like, and then you're like, okay, this is where you really pray. This is where prayer hits the ground, because you're like, okay, God, I'm not going to switch it on. You hold it just for a few seconds, you go, God, you know, Peter walked past people, and his shadow fell on them, and they were healed. God, please. And you switch the red button, and it flickered to life. I was like, yes! Anybody needed proof there was Jesus? Right then it just flickered and died in my arms tonight, for those of you who remember that song. And I just like pressed it. You take the SIM card, it was just dead. It's gone. So I couldn't even text my wife. That was going to be late. It was just a disaster. The whole thing was a disaster. I feel like I need to get it off my chest. And so I took it to Rogers, which is where I bought foolishly. This is an aside thing, but I bought the extra warranty that they guarantee that they will replace it immediately. No, it doesn't work like that. You pay another $100, and then they send it away to decide whether or not they're going to. So I'm not very happy. Their customer service was in minus numbers. They were really just unfriendly. So I decided, you know what? I'm not going to tell them what happened to it. So is this guy kind of handling my phone in Rogers? And I'm going, he has no idea. Because all I told him was just dropped in water. And at one point, I was just my little revenge at their lack of customer service. He actually, I don't know why, wiped it on his pants. And I'm like, yeah, keep white, that's awesome. Just like toilet-ridden phone. And yeah, you can judge me, I don't care. At that moment, I was just like, everything aligned again in the universe. It just seemed right. And now I haven't got my iPhone, and so... The apps that I relied on so heavily, everything that was so perfect is no longer kind of part of my life. And I have to say, as pathetic as it is, I really, really miss my iPhone. Because once you have one, you know, it's like with all the life on it, then you haven't got one, you just feel lost without it. You have memories of what it was like to be able to put it out and go, yeah, what exercise am I doing today? Or what am I doing? No, now I can't even use the phone that I've got. I have to ask Amber or Zoe, you send a text for me. It's like, oh, it's just too, it's frustrating. You know, if I add that story to where I started, I wonder whether it is that for some of you, you have this memory of having a really incredible encounter with God. You have this memory where God was this all-sufficient, incredible, loving, powerful, compassionate, completely bowled over by how much God loves you, and you felt it in reality. You know, all your apps worked perfectly well. Everything was just great. But then over a period of time, it just seems that whether just life happens, that we find ourselves distant from the God that we knew. And now we've got this broken, feels like the apps don't work properly, feels like there's just this lack of connection, we feel empty. It just feels wrong. Because I know that many of you, most of you, would call yourselves a Christian. And that's awesome. And I'm not judging that. You know, you put it on Facebook or whatever, and I love the fact that you want to make a stand like that. But I wonder how many of you know or feel like you're distant from that first experience that you had. You don't feel that love anymore. You don't feel that connection with God. And life has taken over, and you just feel like you're a long way from being bowled over by how much God loves you. That when you realized how much he loves you and he sent his son for you, and no amount of apologetics or science or whatever can give you the answers, it didn't matter anymore. It's just that you knew. And you knew, and it's just a memory to you. And you've kind of moved away from it. And it's interesting because as the weeks and the months stack up, we start changing the way we feel towards God. You know, maybe we've made some mistakes. And maybe they're big, stinky, sweaty ones. Ones that we're ashamed of. Ones that we don't want to talk about. Ones that we hope go away. Things that we've just know have not been right. And we know that this was a time with God that was real. And yet, you're a million miles away from it because you've just done stuff you're not proud of. We've chosen small and insignificant things, and it's replaced God, and we just feel like we've blown it. And then what we do is we start looking at God the way that we look at ourselves. We feel like we feel guilt and we feel shame. And I'm talking here very personally. We feel guilt, we feel shame, we feel distant. We don't like ourselves. We try and fill the void with different stuff. And we just don't like what's going on. And we assume that God looks at us in exactly the same way. He looks at you in a, I'm disappointed with you, I'm keeping tally of you, you just let me down, I hate what you're doing, I hate you. And we start looking at God in this kind of way that he's disappointed with us because we're disappointed in ourselves. And then like Adam and Eve, we hide in the shadows and we start being fearful of being real. You know, I don't know a lot about addiction and drugs and that kind of stuff, and I'm not standing here as an expert, but I'm gonna make a guess. I'm guessing that it starts with a line at a party. And by the way, don't start trying to figure out whether I'm talking about something that's gone on. I'm not. Okay, I'm completely clueless. But the person who ends up completely addicted, it starts with one experience. You don't go from kind of naught to carrying around a bag of cocaine. Dealing. It starts with small steps. And you can replace the drug thing with whatever you like. Whatever that is, it starts with small steps. It starts with small decisions. And I was thinking about, if I was to give this a title, I would say the title for this message would be Small Steps to Stupid. We don't start off stupid. Well, most of us. We actually move towards stupid. We have a relationship with God, and it's just bit by bit that we seem to move away before the months and the weeks stack up and we feel like this void is something that we can never get through and get over again. And some of you are feeling that now, and I know it. Because I know that there's lots of you who know you had a real relationship with God, who knew that you had a real experience with God, but you feel distant from it. And it's been bit by bit. And you might go, well, Glenn, I haven't got massive issues in my life. I haven't, you know, I'm not addicted to drugs. I'm not, you know, I'm not, you know, drinking whiskey every night. I'm not having sex with girls and guys. I'm not, blah, blah, blah. And you go, well, you know what? Let me tell you this. Just a bit of wisdom, a little bit of experience for you. Just sweat the small stuff. You know that book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff? Sweat the small stuff. It's the little things that build up that you've got to be careful of. Because if this is what our relationship with God, I've set this up just as an area. If this is our relationship and our experience with God, this is what Christianity looks like. We kind of move away, and then we realize where we are, and we come back, and we ask for forgiveness. And then we move away a bit more, and we come back, and we ask for forgiveness. That's what repentance is. It's a life of repentance. It's not just, you know, you don't stay here all the time. Life isn't real. That's not real. We screw up all the time, but the point is that we get drawn back to God. But when we just push through and we start changing our view from God, before we know it, we're just miles away. And I wonder how many of you feel that way. Maybe some of you are here. Maybe some of you are here. Just made that one decision. That, man, I screwed up. You're just here. But it's all part of the journey. In Luke 15, there's this incredible story of a young man, and it just, I've really been stuck on this scripture for the last little while. And you know the story. He asked his dad for a share of the inheritance. Do you think that he just woke up one morning and decided, you know what? Screw it. I want some cash. I want a third of my, I want my inheritance, which is a third of everything the guy would have owned. And so he was given. That was a plan he made. He didn't just kind of go, oh, I need to ask money. He planned that. And he goes and asks his dad, and then it says, listen to this. This is unbelievable. I've never noticed this before. It says, not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had, took a journey into the far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. He didn't decide to ask for the money and then immediately run to Hookerville. He didn't. He planned it. He packed his stuff. He gathered everything together. And then a few days later, he starts the journey. Step by step. Away from his father. Towards destruction. He plans it. He thinks about it. He gathers his stuff together. And a few days later. So I wonder whether you're in the space where you're actually struggling mentally with stuff that's going on and you're considering making the journey. I wonder how many of you are packing your stuff up. You've just done little things that you're not in Hookerville, but you're kind of hovering around here. Because I know, boy, and I tell you, any mature Christian in here would hold their hand up and go that they could relate to this, because I tell you, it's been me. I've been here, and I've been over there. I've been all over the place. Each small step led him away. So what do we do when we recognize we wandered so far? You know, maybe you're over here. Let's just say that, you know life is crap. And you're just like, man, what do you do? Do we run back? Well, no, we don't. We struggle, we fight, we start thinking that God is judging us. We start thinking that God looks at us like we look at him, and he's just like all about the, okay, he's no longer loving, he keeps score, he tallies up all our sin, we've got to earn his love by doing better. Maybe if I could just get to here, God would love me. Maybe if I could just stop all this, then God will love me. And that's not the gospel. The gospel is, no matter where you are here, he loves you passionately. He hasn't changed. He loved us then, and he loves you now. He didn't used to be forgiving. He is forgiving. He didn't used to be loving. He is loving. He didn't used to be passionate about you. He is passionate about you. And it doesn't matter where you are on this gradient. He stood here just like the father in that story, and he's waiting. And it says, there's a verse, I'll read it to you. I think it's verse 17. It says, the son came to his senses. And then his dad is here, and it says that he sees his son. I've said this to you before. It's such a beautiful verse. He sees his son coming over the hill, and he runs and embraces him. Do you know what? The dad is here, and he's looking. He's looking and waiting for his son. He is looking and waiting for you to come to your senses and realize there is nothing you can do to earn his love. But you are here. That's reality. And you want to get back to there. And there's only one way of doing it. It's by coming to your senses and journeying back spiritually. By repenting. Because the son had decided he was going to ask for forgiveness and just throw himself at his father's feet and say, you can do whatever you want, but I don't want to stay there anymore. And I wonder if any of you have got to that place yet. Maybe you're here, and you're going to wait until you're over there. Let's journey back. Let me talk directly to the people who know that deep down inside, even though you may feel like you're a long way away, but you know you're a Christian. You just feel like there's a struggle going inside of you, because you know what? That's an indicator that there's God stuff going on in there. Can I tell you this? That the wrath he has and the hatred he has for your sin died with his son Jesus. That has not changed. Your view of your own sin might have changed, but his view of what happened to that sin is still nailed to that cross, which is why he looks and waits. And for those of you who never surrendered your life to Jesus, that wrath that will be applied to your sin, and you may say, well, this is, you know, I don't like this kind of message. Well, don't read the Bible then. Because the Bible says that there is a punishment for the sin, and that we just surrender ourselves to God, and that will get nailed to that cross, and it's done. And all the apps work. So where are you? Are you here and you're just like, God's just amazing. It's wow. It's awesome. Just be aware that you might wander a bit and just come right back. Just pray and connect with God on a regular basis. Maybe you're just packing and you're deciding to go. Maybe there's something or a relationship or an event or something that is in the future and you're considering getting attached to it. You're just packing. Nobody would know what's just going on in your mind. Maybe you've wondered further. Maybe you're walking as I speak. Some of you may be running as I speak. Do you like who you've become? Do you like who you are becoming? Do you like it? Are you in love with it? Are you passionate about it? Because there is nothing like being attached to the vine, like the Bible says, like being attached to where God wants you to be. So maybe for some of you, and I say this really lovingly, maybe it's time for us to come to our senses, like the guy in the story, and to start coming back. Start the journey back, knowing that there's a loving Father waiting for you. I think, I'd get corrected by anybody wiser than me. I'm pretty sure C.S. Lewis did a lot of writing about how God is eternally happy. I know John Piper, he's not. Yeah, I think we have an image of God like sitting here in heaven. I'm not saying I'm God, but sitting here like, I'm going to nail him. I'm going to send a car accident there. A lightning bolt there. I'm going to stay there. You know, he's not like that. He is perfectly and eternally and wonderfully content and happy. Isn't that incredible? But we don't see him like that. He's just waiting. He's not happy and content with the sin in your life, but he's happy and content with the fact that his son died on the cross for that sin, because he knows the end of the story is perfect. So come back to the loving Father. This would be great if we were at camp right now. I'm heading to Medicine Hat tomorrow to speak at a camp. I get to go to all the glamorous places. I have Medicine Hat and then Grand Forks. Sorry, Matt. And then Edmonton the next week after that. It's just so glamorous, exotic. And you know, if we were at camp, I'd be saying, you know, maybe this is the time for us to go back to our cabins and we can talk to our youth leaders and we can share and we can chat and pray and wrestle with stuff. But we're in school. And so what my prayer is that, you know what, that this stuff will actually, you won't just keep walking away from it. You'll actually stop and think. And maybe in class you get an opportunity to chat about it. And it weighs on you. And maybe some of you will come to your senses even today. No judgment on my part, because I need to come to my senses every day. That's my prayer for you. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you did make a way possible through your death for our sin and the stuff in our life to be forgiven and dealt with. And I thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to pay the ultimate sacrifice. I thank you, Father, that you are willing to send your Son because you love and you're so passionate about your creation. And Lord, I pray for the students who are in the room right now who are working so hard at trying to hide in the shadows, trying to cover themselves up with stuff that looks cool to the world. But Lord, they know that they're journeying away from a decision that they made maybe years ago, maybe months, perhaps weeks or days. Lord, I pray that there would be a drawing. Holy Spirit, draw them to yourself, that we would come to our senses and realize how much you love us now and then and always. Lord, I pray for those that are struggling. Draw close to them and comfort them, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to dismiss you in a second.